I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about the past, present, and future of the United Way of Central Indiana with the people who would know best, retiring United Way President and CEO Ellen Anila and incoming President and CEO Ann Mertlow. We're going to talk about opportunities and challenges. We're going to discuss fond memories and hopes for the future. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits@wfyi.org, or connecting with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We're looking forward to chatting with you. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the United Way of Central Indiana's leadership transition. We are fortunate to have as our guest today Ellen Anila, who is the outgoing retiring president and CEO of United Way of Central Indiana. Ellen, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I think this is your third time here.
That's right.
That's good. And Ann Mertlow, who is the incoming president and CEO of the organization. Ann, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
And if you would like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, Ellen, I'm going to start with a question I'm sure you've been asked many, many times already. Why are you leaving?
It's time. You know, I've been there 23 years. I am bumping up against 70, and it's just time to have new leadership. It's also a good time for the organization. We've gone through a new strategic plan, and I think having Ann come in to lead us through implementation of that plan is just perfect timing.
And Ann, I'll take it in the other direction. What was it about this job that appealed to you?
Well, it actually started when I first came to Indianapolis 10 years ago, and for the first time in my career, I really had an opportunity to get involved at a leadership level in civic and nonprofit activities, and I just loved it, and I found that I could be impactful. So it's actually been a 10-year journey to this particular place, and I'm just really pleased to be able to serve in this new capacity going forward.
Well, I think we're going to try to take this a little bit in chronological order here, and I'm going to start by asking Ellen, you say you've been in this post for 23 years.
15 years as CEO. 23 years at United Way.
Okay. What, of those years, what do you think is the biggest accomplishment for United Way during your tenure?
I think we're far more strategic than we were 23 years ago. I think the model we had when I came to United Way had served this community very well. We were a fundraiser and an allocator to a great group of organizations. Today, we still fund some great organizations, but we also are far more strategic and directed and accountable back to donors and to the community. We now initiate certain strategies, and we'll do some competitive funding and really drive much more engagement on the part of the community that's not just about fundraising, but it's about volunteerism, and it's about changing the community for the better. So it's good to continue to make sure we've got that continuum of care and basic human services. But I think we've seen in this country and in this community that that's insufficient to begin to change some of the trend lines. So now we are about what can we do to actually begin to cause some change. And we put a stake in the ground that we think the best path out of poverty is education. 23 years ago, we were not involved directly with schools, and we were not funding those kinds of programs and focused on early learning.
And how much energy, attention, and frankly, money do you devote at education now?
Right now, it's around $4 million. That doesn't represent though the effort that goes into it, we've made a 10-year commitment to early child care and a commitment of about $12 million there. But we also have a staff in place of some wonderful professionals and experts who know what it takes to make sure that young children have the start they need and can succeed in school, because if they don't succeed at an early age, they are not going to succeed at later years. And so we didn't have education staff 23 years ago. We do now. We also have a huge number of volunteers. One of the things we do is work with 27 different schools with a tutoring program for third, fourth, and fifth graders. We have over 1,000 volunteers the last 3 years who are going in on a weekly basis to tutor these children who are 1 or 2 years behind. So that's the kind of change that we've made. We've said in this community we want to make sure we keep those basic needs met, but at the same time, we've got to keep moving ourselves forward so we can begin to reduce some of those needs in the future.
We are talking about the transition and leadership at United Way of Central Indiana. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, Ann, I want to talk with you a little bit about where you see the opportunities for future expansion, further growth for the United Way of Central Indiana. What is it you hope to do?
Well, I'm absolutely on board with the activities that United Way is pursuing right now in the three major areas of impact, which are really impact, education, income, and financial stability. And really, in very short words, learn more, earn more, lead safe and healthy lives, all critically important on their own, but even more so when they're integrated in an effort to really change the future. I mean, Ellen stated it very well. We are very concerned about meeting basic needs today, but ideally in a perfect world, we would be moving toward the complete reduction of demand for our basic needs in the future, because we've made systemic change that has benefited the human condition.
And, you know, in terms of any new programs or initiatives, obviously, you bring with any transition, as a leader, you bring slightly different skill set than Ellen did. What ways will you redefine the job?
Well, right now I'm learning.
Okay.
I'm not in the job yet. Mm-hmm. I've spent some time with Ellen and will continue to spend some time with Ellen, really learning what United Way is doing right now and looking at the data. I've been very impressed that this organization is very data-driven. It does a lot of research to know what's working and what's not working, and what the needs are and what donors are interested in supporting. And bringing all of those things together to make change is really important. So we're looking at that data now. In fact, we just came from a meeting where we've started to do that, and I'm becoming familiar. From there, we'll figure out where we want to go.
It's a more market-based approach, really, than perhaps any not-for-profit would have been using, say, 30 years ago. What drove that transition, Ellen?
Well, we've always been a product of our community, and as the community and the marketplace change, we have to change. And that's when we started being far more accountable, was really in the 70s, because the corporate community changed, government changed. There was a pullback of some of the government funding that had been so pronounced in communities. And so that really meant we had to begin to look at this. The whole nonprofit sector, the explosion in the number of nonprofits, meant that we had to justify ourselves. Prior to 1970, anybody who's ever done fundraising knows you have to have a case for support. And prior to 1970, our case was basically, here's what we need. And people responded. You know, we'd have 100% participation in a lot of companies, and kind of everybody did it. Well, as the competition for charitable dollars and charitable time increased, our accountability had to change. We couldn't just go out and say, here's what we need. We had to say why. We had to say what we were doing with dollars. And then as that kind of accountability matured, we had donors and companies and other people saying, okay, it's not enough to just tell us how you're using the dollars, but what difference are you making in the community? So we've always been very responsive to the community, And where we are today is really a result of that. And, you know, the first community assessment we did was back in 1924. So that isn't a change. Sometimes when I look back at that, we still have a copy of it. It's a little depressing because some of the issues that were identified in 1924, we haven't solved as
such
communities. Racial issues and the disparities between those who have financial resources and those who don't. Some of those are just the very same issues we were struggling with then.
And I have to ask, what prompted you to want to get into this kind of work?
Oh, you know, this...
What led you to the United Way?
This has always been my work. You know, it's been my entire career. So I don't ever remember wanting to do something different. I knew, that's not true. I started out as I was going to be a math teacher. And somewhere along the line, I think it was some early volunteerism as both in high school and college, I knew I wanted to do community work. I wasn't sure what kind, but I knew some kind of community work.
And what are the sources of satisfaction for you in terms of doing this?
Well,
what constitutes a really good day where you feel?
Oh, well, you know, it's a really good day when I can see change. I'll give you some examples. And sometimes, you know, when you're in this work long enough, you wonder, can you be as inspired as you were when you got into it? But it was just a couple of years ago where we had a little celebration for some of the child care centers, the first ones that came into past quality and the Child Care Improvement Project for us. And, yeah, I was asked to go and distribute the certificates. Hadn't really given it much thought. But I got quite emotionally taken as some of these child care workers who themselves didn't have high school diplomas, who had never had any continuing ed, began to understand their role. It wasn't just keeping children safe, but they were part of the early learning. And the pride I saw in these registered ministries, many of these were church-related or synagogue-related ministries, that the pride they had in improving and that they felt like they were accomplishing something. And so it wasn't just the numbers that I knew with those first 27 centers that there were hundreds of children who were going to have a better experience. I mean, that's important, and that I really feel good about, but it was also just seeing the pride that they had and a different kind of understanding. And I realized, again, we're changing lives and we're changing a system that hadn't seen their role and their importance in learning.
We are talking about the United Way of Central Indiana in transition here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. And I have not known you long, but you strike me as a pretty goal-driven person. You know, say you do this job for at least 5 years. What are the standards for success that you're going to establish for yourself?
Well, they'll be aligned with the strategic plan that Ellen talked about earlier. So, you know, really setting goals for improvement in the areas of important impact that we've identified and really going after those. I think important to that is really having the resources to do what we need to do to make systemic change, and also being quick to figure out what's not working so that we can change direction. So that's really key. I am driven in every aspect of my life, always has been. It's just going to be great to be able to devote it to this community. One of the things that I noticed when I came here, and I've lived a number of different places in the course of my life, is that here in Indianapolis, there is a community spirit that I think makes it different than most other places I've been. It makes it very different than most other places I've been. There is a spirit of togetherness, of people coming together with volunteerism, with leadership, and with donor dollars, essentially, to fix problems. You know, while there may be one of those in various places I've been before, the integration of those and the engagement of people you know, through the religious community, through the corporate community, through grassroots efforts, has a much stronger fiber here than I've seen anywhere else. And it's wonderful because you can get things done.
What accounts for that, do you think?
You know, I don't know if it's that people have very strong roots here. So a lot of folks, it's not as transient as some of the places I've lived, like Washington, D.C., for example, where there are a lot of people there, but not
probably
all of them have been
enough,
there forever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But, you know, deep roots and a deep care for the community and a desire to always want to make it better. I mean, it's not just money. It's sweat equity and heart.
We are talking with the incoming and outgoing leaders of the United Way of Central Indiana here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today with the outgoing and incoming leaders of the United Way of Central Indiana, Ellen Anila and Ann Mertlow. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Well, Ellen, we've talked a little bit about triumphs along the way. Are there regrets? Some things that you think, oh, boy, I wish I'd been able to make more of a difference there.
Well, I think there are so many areas that are still opportunities to improve. And I think we've tried some things. And when I look at regrets, it has more to do with how far we haven't gone as a community. Certainly, it's easy to get discouraged to see that, you know, over this 23 years and several years before that, some of our social trend lines are going in the wrong direction.
Such as?
Well, certainly in terms of income disparity, and I think we know we're beginning to see some improvement in education, but certainly our educational attainment. Our health rankings are terrible in Indiana and in central Indiana. And the average income right now, even in our county, we are below the self-sufficiency index in Marion County. We're not in some of the other counties, but we are in Marion County, and so we're losing some ground in some areas. Everything's very interrelated, and I think. Over the years, there have been a lot of kind of comprehensive plans to try to improve some things, but very often nothing comes of it. And we used to, at United Way, we used to do a lot of community planning, and we have a lot of plans sitting on the shelves from the 70s and 80s and early 90s. And I sense a greater spirit now of cooperation that extends beyond sports. You know, we're great with the Pan Am Games in the 80s, and we were great with the Super Bowl, but I sense much more of a spirit of we've got to tackle things like education in a big way together and all get on the same page. And if we're going to tackle health, we've got to do that in a big way, in a sustained way that involves everyone, and look at how we become mutually accountable to each other, both institutions and people. And I just think there's a greater spirit to realize that if we're going to tackle some of the big issues, it's got to be done in a very comprehensive way that we're kind of interconnected. We may each have our own niche that we do, but we're very focused on the same goals, and I think that's happening in education, and I think it can in some other areas.
Well, and clearly your priority is education. I mean, that if there's been a motif here, how did you arrive at the idea that education would be the magic bullet, basically?
Well, you know, we started kind of dabbling in education in the early 90s, and And at the time, we were looking at a community school model, and we still continue to do that, try to see how we can bring community resources to schools, because so teachers can teach and the community can kind of embrace them and take care of and address some of those kind of non-academic needs that get in the way of children learning. So we started dabbling in that, but we never funded it properly. We didn't staff it properly. We were trying to do everything on a shoestring.
By we, do you mean United Way or the community?
I mean United Way and the community. Okay. And but it was important to us. We started trying to do this in 1992. And a few years ago, in a board retreat, we took a look at a lot of information, both fundraising information, donor trends, but also social indicators, to begin to look at what some of those trend lines were. And that's when, as a board and a staff together, came to the conclusion that what we were doing wasn't as effective as it could be. There were parts that we wanted to continue to do, but we needed to do more. And it was through that, looking at our data, looking at the community assessment, that there was agreement that we wanted to elevate education to an equal priority with what we were doing in human services, and that if we did it, that meant we needed to staff it and fund it, and it had to be both. And that's really, that was, I think, in 2006, if I remember. And so we've been really on that path ever since.
We are talking about the past, present, and future of the United Way of Central Indiana. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, Ann Mertlow, I've got to ask, what part of the job intimidates you or daunts you the most? I mean, I you seem to me to be the kind of person who looks for a challenge, and that means there has to be a little bit of fear involved in stepping up to a challenge.
If there wasn't, there would be a problem,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Of course. Well, you know, this is an organization with a very long history and an extremely important mission. So my biggest hurdle right now is really learning all the things that Ellen talked about. What are we doing right now? And what are the things that we've tried in the past that have worked or haven't worked? Really getting to know the staff, a wonderful group of people who have welcomed me extremely warmly, but really understanding what everybody does, how the organization works on a daily basis. And then, of course, working with the board and the corporate community, and also getting on with campaign. So this organization never stops. It's always running at 150 miles per hour, and I'm jumping on that train.
Well, what do you think is going to be the toughest nut to crack of the problems, the challenges the organization has set for itself? Which one so far has been the most unyielding to?
Well, you know, we've talked about education, and Ellen talked about how we believe that education is the best way out of poverty. Research has shown this, and this affects a lot of people. There are a lot of resources going into education. There are a lot of people thinking about education. You know, I do feel that in this community that there is a greater and greater momentum to dealing with these issues, which is a wonderful thing. And I'm actually looking very much forward to becoming part of this global organization and highly interconnected national organization, where there are other United Ways and other urban centers that are dealing with similar problems, and we can learn from each other.
What do we need to do to improve the state of education? Ellen Anila.
Well, you know, I think if we knew that,
it would be solved.
That's right. It would be solved. And what's good about this community is we've got a lot of resources here, not just the United Way, but with the Mind Trust, with Teach for America, with the corporate sector, corporate leadership that really is devoting time to this, that I think we have a lot of people who are figuring it out. And beginning to figure out how we all get kind of on the same page and can move forward. But I think, you know, we one of the things we've done recently, and we'll be announcing it at our annual meeting, is to do a competitive grant that is geared towards traditional public schools, to have teachers and administrators tell us what they want to do to turn around their schools. So we are very focused on we want to turn the tables and not just do our best research and say what we think is going to work, but we want to ask them. And we've said, you know, that we think teachers and administrators probably know best. So tell us what is evidence-based that you think you can do to turn this around. And we're focused on the schools that serve low-income populations and focused on schools that are underperforming. And we've asked school districts to give them autonomy to make the changes they want to make. So I think we're all still, there are some things we know, both as a United Way and as all these education institutions, and there are some things we're still trying to maneuver. It's unfair to put it all on education, because I think we also have some issues related to families and some of just the culture. We've got a lot of families and neighborhoods who are really struggling, and it's unfair to say that doesn't play into some of the challenges we have in education.
Well, and it sounds like, to some degree, if I could simplify the approach you're talking about, it is to sort of pilot the next great idea, incubate it right
well,
there.
Well, piloting is, it's both to pilot, but also there are things we know, and figuring out how to take them to scale is also, I think, a
Such
challenge.
Such as?
You know, I think we know some things about certainly mentoring, about class ratios. We certainly know things in terms of teacher quality, and I think so. There are certain things we know, and there are a lot of small programs that work. It's how do you then begin to take that to scale, but also how do you integrate what you're trying to do in education with some of the other areas. And I'll give you another example. We have a grant from a family actually in Ohio. It's called the Seymour Foundation. And they were interested in reducing homelessness. And they wanted to branch out beyond Ohio, and we were invited to apply. So what we've done is to fund one of our community centers that has a Center for Working Families. And the whole focus is how can we help stabilize housing and income for families. Well, we related it to the schools where we were, for three of the schools. So we're working with the parents in those schools, of children in those schools. Because we also know if kids aren't in school, if they're moving two or three times a year, they're not going to learn that year. So by trying to stabilize the families, help them stay where they are and stabilize their income, then that doesn't mean the child's going to automatically learn, but the child has a better prospect of learning. So we're trying to look at how do we integrate what we're doing, that it's not our role just to be about, you know, helping in the classroom, but it's also how can we help the family so the family becomes a more of a support system for the child's learning.
We are talking about the past, present, and future of the United Way of Central Indiana here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, Ann Mertlow, I'll ask, does kind of the dance of distrust that we see at the legislative level right now with the new state superintendent of public instruction and really all of the rest of state government to some degree bother you? If education is a priority, and it sounds like one of the things that the organization is trying to do is get everybody at least working on the same page or sharing ideas without that kind of distrust. Is that troublesome or worrisome to you at all?
Well, I think whenever there's change, and there is frequent change in a legislature and in leadership and government, then relationships have to be built, and that's how trust is built over the long term. So, you know, United Way has an important role in advocacy, particularly around education, and we'll continue to do that. I think I would say anything that gets in the way of improvement is a frustration for all of us. But recognizing that a big change here in the kinds of areas that we're talking about really requires tremendous inclusion, I think that the development of those relationships is our time well spent, very well spent. Mm-hmm. It's an investment.
Okay, and let's assume here that you have spectacular success with the whole education, whole initiative, and you've solved it suddenly, you know, Indianapolis and Indiana schools are, you know, outperforming every other school in the world, and our children are doing very, very well. What's the next priority?
After we fixed all the current problems?
Well, after you fix the education problem, what is the next
health.
Big priority? Health?
I think it's health, yeah. And I think you start working on health now because health, as Ellen talked about, is a precursor to, you know, good learning and financial stability. But, you know, this is a problem that has been more recent in coming to the forefront. Our numbers really are deplorable in the area of health. And it, again, is going to have to be a community-wide effort to get it done.
In what ways are they deplorable? Where are they?
Well, we have the obesity standards. When you look at the, the cost of health care, for example, for our population here in this part of the country, it's you know, very high because the incidence of disease is very high comparably.
And I've seen rankings, depending on, you know, there are different ranking agencies, but I've seen our rankings anywhere from 37th to 44th in the nation in terms of our health rating. So, you know, it's something that Hoosiers have pride, and they shouldn't be proud of that. And it's something we've got to tackle. And it's long term because we get into some bad habits, and it's a long term proposition.
How do you go about tackling that? What's the best way to do it? I'll throw it to Ellen first.
Well, you know, there are some conversations going on right now of kind of where do you get started? And it's kind of like what we're doing at United Way and certainly others, not certainly just United Way, but as we've looked at education, you've got to start with children. You've got to start with young children. Well, you know, I think that's also a place to start with in health is how do we begin to work where children are and work on nutrition and work on physical fitness. But you can't work on children if you're not also working with families. There's good research that shows one of the best ways to deal with childhood obesity is for parents to get on top of their own issues related to weight and health and healthy habits. So I think they're... And there's the Y has been instrumental in leading some discussions among providers on how everybody can begin to look at some common goals in terms of measurement and how we get people included. There are probably some policy changes. Anytime you look at a community strategy, it's not just activity. It could be policy. What are the kinds of policy? Sometimes it's legislative. Sometimes it's administrative. Sometimes it's within a school. It's hard sometimes to change some of the habits that we fall into, even in schools, and what you make available in terms of healthy snacks. We've cut back in schools on so many physical fitness, phys ed courses. And, I mean, it's always a balancing act, but we've got a great chart that we use a lot of times when we're out speaking that shows the interrelatedness between education and health and income stability.
Well, and it sounds like even the schools are important there, too.
Oh, schools are critical. That's where kids are. So schools have to be a player.
So what would be the first thing if we were restructuring this? How would it be reinstitute phys ed at a more comprehensive level, or would it be to change the kinds of food that they're served in the cafeteria?
Oh, you know, I'm not an expert in this area, so I don't. And I think sometimes it's easy to say it's just one thing. The good thing of what's happening around the country is there are a lot of communities looking at this. And there are some, I think, again, we always start with research. And we're beginning to see that the communities that are making change, it's comprehensive. They may have a public awareness campaign that just gets people thinking about being healthier.
We are talking about the United Way of Central Indiana here on No Limits. I'm John Crawl. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today with the outgoing and incoming leaders of the United Way of Central Indiana, Ellen Anila and Ann Mertlow. Ellen, I'm going to ask a question just on your personal memories. What is the best moment in the 23 years with United Way, the 15 years leading the organization?
Oh, if there was one.
And
well,
I know you did a blog about some of your
blog, yes.
About your memorable one, and you narrowed it down to 10, but I'm going to try to get
further than that.
To
do the best, I don't know that there's one best. I mean, early on, one of the most exciting that I put in the blog was when Lilly Endowment gave us that wonderful gift for an to start an endowment, a $50 million endowment, that really allowed us to maximize donor gifts. So that was one of the early, really exciting ones. But there have been so many really fun times and good memories. Just working with the Colts and working with, I guess it's a more comprehensive answer, John. I feel like I've been in a position to work with the very best that Indianapolis has. And it's really people, whether it's donors or volunteers, my board leadership, neighborhood workers who never get any kind of attention or may not get much attention, that's probably what has kept me going the most is just seeing the impact that and the desire that people in this community have to make things better. Or when we're in the depths of the recession in 2008, 2009, and I remember a few of our major donors who increased their gifts who said, we can't keep it up at this level, but we know during this time not everybody can give us much. And, I mean, there's that kind of commitment here. So that's probably been the most rewarding, is just interacting with the best that this community has to offer.
What was the hardest moment?
Well, it's always hard when you have to make reductions, when you don't have some of the resources, whether they're people resources or dollar resources. I was there when United Way made the first kind of reduction in 1994, and it was kind of a shock to the system. We had never had to lay off staff before. But it was a really, really tough year, tough campaign year. And so those are always really sad because so often you know what the potential is and you know what you could do if you had the resources. Or you've got some really promising practices, but you can't quite provide the resources, whether they're people resources or dollar resources. That's really always a struggle.
When was the moment, we talked with Ann Mertlow about the trepidation into moving into a new job, and that's part of the appeal of it, is that, you're not sure about certain things. When was the moment when you thought, oh, yeah, I can do this job?
Oh,
Or has it come yet?
I don't know if it's come. It's actually interesting because I talk with a lot of my colleagues, and we talk about sometimes the insecurity of this, mainly because it's really hard work, and we're in such a dynamic time. Everything is constantly changing. And you want to be able to lead an organization and lead a community in change. But if you're not completely clear on the direction, and I think the roadmap isn't always there. It's a journey, and it's not always clear that you got to go from A to B to C to get where you want to get to change some of these social indicators. And so I think that's the hard part is I've always been somewhat of a change agent, but there was a point at which I thought, I'm just not sure where we need to go and what this new United Way needs to look like to be the most relevant organization that this community needs to support and be the best community we can. And so I think that's really hard when so many of the so much keeps changing. You know, I just look at how the corporate sector has changed here. And I mean, it is just a totally different United Way and different marketplace now than it was when I first came.
We are talking about the United Way of Central Indiana here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Ann Mertlow, what do you think has been the best preparation for you for this position in terms of your life and career so far?
Well, I think actually leading IPL was the biggest one. And the reason I say that is that I came from a very competitive side of the business and came to an organization here, which was a 100-year-old organization, similar to United Way. It was large, it was complex, it was highly regulated and highly integrated with the community, and also providing a service that was, you know, is really desperately counted on for everything that we have these days. So really important and integrated for me a sense of mission with the leadership component. So, you know, that's kind of number one. Number two is the opportunities to get involved in the community at a nonprofit board level have helped me to build not only a strong corporate network, which is important to United Way funding, but also a very strong civic and nonprofit leadership network, all of which, you know, Ellen knows because she has it. So I come into it with that strong network that we can leverage.
Well, in terms of Ellen, your transition, what's next for you now?
Well, I'm going to take a long nap on April 1st, and then I'm going to figure out life. And, you know, I don't want to keep going at the pace that I'm going, but I don't want to be absent from the community. It's in a community. I originally thought I'd probably move back to Arizona, but you know, I've been here now almost 42 years, and this is home. And so I want to figure out how I can give back, just maybe not as many hours every week.
And what you know, there is, since you were where Ann is right now 15 years ago, mm-hmm. What thing did you not know then that you would like to communicate to her now? What's the most important, the thing that surprised you the most about the job? And I see you leaning back, which means that's part of the reason I'm talking. I'm buying you a couple of minutes to think.
That's
here.
That's right.
Because I realize it's a deep question.
Uh-huh. But. Well, I think I didn't realize just how hard some of the collaborative work is, and that when you're talking about community change, it by definition has to be collaborative. There's no one institution or organization that can do it, and so working that through and just the dynamics of that is very hard. I think the other, I know you said just one thing, but
okay,
I think the whole resource development piece is hard. I think years ago, being 100 years old, I know that I talked to the United Way president who hired me. I visited him, Dan McDonald, in Tucson a couple of years ago, and Dan said, "I am so glad I'm not there anymore." He said, "It's just become too hard." And part of that is because we are so tied into the corporate sector, and that sector, that marketplace keeps changing. And so that just really, we've got to move.
So managing the volatility there is.
Managing the volatility and realizing that our history for the last 50, almost 60 years has been, our business model has been a business-to-business model primarily when it comes to fundraising, and we've got to move. We can't leave that, but we've got to have a business-to-consumer model. We've got to learn how to use all the new media and develop. This is going to be one of Ann's big challenges, is how do we develop those raving individual fans so that if they move between three companies and they're with a company that doesn't do a United Way campaign, we don't lose contact. And so that's one of our challenges, is is how we keep connected with people, because a lot of our fundraising model has been based on big companies. Well, the growth in the economy is in small and mid-size. So I think that's one of those issues that's been certainly a struggle for me and for the entire organization. Fortunately, we've got great volunteer help in trying to help us figure this out.
Well, and Ellen mentioned the volatility really in the corporate world and having to manage that. I know, because I live in the not-for-profit world too, that there's also concern about the changing nature of donors, the generational shifts. Is that the next? We've talked about community challenges here, the United Way, but there's also just the internal organizational challenge. Is that one of the big ones as well? And what do you do about it?
Yeah, I do think, and back to what Ellen said, I do agree with everything she said. I think that the changing face of the corporate situation is obviously something we have to address. And it's not just consolidation. It's the fact that corporations are doing more with less. They have fewer resources. So they're not necessarily the channel they were before. Extremely important partners for us, and we need to figure out how to help them help us. That's key. And then the generational thing, I think, is really about communication. How do we reach particularly younger people and get them engaged? They have a lot of heart, but you have to capture them first. And we have to capture them in different ways than we did before. Social media will be a big part of that. I mean, you're in the media business, right? The way you need to communicate to truly connect with people of different generations is very different. And it makes it difficult, right? Because you have to use lots of different medias based on age groups.
Well, and I guess the place I was going to is also it shows that the profiles are different for donors now I don't even want to use the term donor. When you say donor, we think of people who just write checks. Mm-hmm. It's more volunteers, contributors, people who serve. To some degree, this younger generation is much less eager to write checks in isolation. They want to have a greater sense of connection. How is United Way going to have to change to sort of channel all of that energy? Because volunteers are wonderful. On the other hand, they also have to be managed, directed, and all of that, which creates some burden on the infrastructure as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Ellen can add to this. I think that the integration of the experience between donorship being the money piece and volunteerism is really key, and really being responsive to the way people want to volunteer. What are they particularly interested in? Are there specific areas that they want to be engaged in? Are there specific times that they need to be engaged? And really being flexible about that so that we can draw people in and make it a much more rewarding experience for them all around.
Yeah, and we have added over the years. You know, when I first started in 1990, we didn't even know who our donors were. Our relationship was all with corporate, with the company and with the CEO. The companies didn't give us the donor names. We couldn't even send thank you letters. Today, not only do we have about 80% of our donor names, there are still some companies who don't. We also have affinity groups. We've got an emerging leaders group, about 1,000 young professionals who are volunteering, giving exactly what Ann said. It's high touch as well as giving. We've got a women's initiative, our Women United. We've got leadership programs. So we've had to channel some of our staff resources to support these efforts and not just out doing fundraising, because individuals do want to connect. It just isn't the same. It's not just writing checks. We have companies who want to start their relationship with United Way with volunteerism, mm-hmm. and not with fundraising. And then maybe the second and third year, they start doing some fundraising in addition to the volunteerism.
So that's been a change in the model.
Absolutely.
As well over time. So I'm going to ask, what is the thing you're going to miss the most about the job, Ellen?
Well, it always probably comes back to people. Because it is, I mean, just, and I guess also the diversity of the job. because one day I'm dealing with some corporate leaders and company people, and the next day I'm in a community center in a neighborhood. So that diversity of that experience and just that sense of being a part of something bigger than myself and a part of a community and a network, a national and a global network that is working to engage every part of our community in kind of forward movement to improve the quality of lives. That's just richly rewarding, and everybody who works in this business and at United Way will share that that's just part, that's so much the satisfaction we get from being there.
And Anne, what part of the job excites you the most now? What are you most looking forward to?
The same part she's going to miss, really. You know, when I left IPL, I relaxed for the first time in a very long time. In fact, I'm not even sure I ever had relaxed before, which was really nice for a little while. But I really miss the people. Ellen has a fantastic team at United Way, and I'm really looking forward to working with them and doing really good, meaningful work that makes a difference. That's what it's all about.
Well, I'm going to ask an inside the actor studio kind of question here, and that is, you know, at the end of when you're talking about leadership, you often talk about legacy. Ellen, when they look back on your time at United Way of Central Indiana, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to think of your tenure?
Well, I want them to think that we move to accountability and results, that doing good works is just no longer sufficient, that we've got to be focused on activity that leads to results. And I think we've made great strides and we've moved there. There's a lot more to do, but hopefully we've done that. I just want to add how good it feels to retire knowing somebody as good as Anne Mertlow is coming in and will take this organization and community to new heights.
Well, in about 30 seconds, Anne, I'm going to ask you the same question. What do you want your legacy to be? You're at the front end of it here.
I don't know if it was when I turned 50 I started to be more reflective about these things, but I came to realize that legacies are not around things that you build, hard, touchable things that you build. They're about the people that you touch along the way. And that's the people that you work with, the people that you live with, the people that you communicate with. And at the end of the day, if people can say that United Way of Central Indiana made a real difference in this community, that's the legacy. It's not about me. It's about the organization.
Well, I think that's a great last word. I want to thank both of you for spending this time with us. Ellen, Anne, I hope you will come back here again in your new life. We enjoy talking with you. And Anne Mertlow, I hope we will see you back here in the studio as well. And I wish you both the best of luck in your new transitions here. You're both embracing new adventures. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to No Limits. We will be back next week. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.